This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
So we're just excited, man, excited about what God's doing around here and all that good stuff. So again, title of the message this morning is Why Am I Here? Talking about God's will for your life. So with that being said, we're gonna jump right in. I'm going to do a little bit of a recap of the first time that I ministered this message, and we'll get into some really, really exciting new territory. So if you're ready, somebody say yes. Very good. Here we go. So I love this. Acts chapter 15 and 28. Acts chapter 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. For it seemed good. Someone say it seemed good. Seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And so this scripture right here is key, okay, in determining God's will for your life and being led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, we're not talking about what seems good to your flesh or what seems good to the natural man. We're talking about what seems good to the inner man, the spirit part of who you are, okay, to the spirit man, the man that lives on the inside, where the Holy Spirit has taken up residence. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen? Amen? We do know that when you're a Christian, that God lives inside of you. Amen? And so with that being said, that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit that you're going to be led, and when you move into situations and decision-making processes, that you're going to have to follow what seems good to the Holy Spirit and to you. Somebody say amen, and you follow that instead of other things. And the way the world, listen to me, church, the way the world makes decisions should be totally different than the way that we make decisions. Okay, and I want to teach you what the Word of God says about this. This will be one of the most fundamental, powerful messages that some of you have ever heard. Others of you, it will fortify some of those beliefs. And hear me, it will renew your mind in some of these areas, because some of us have let certain things slip. And if we're not careful, we as Christians begin to make decisions like the world does, and we wonder why life isn't progressing more quickly. All right, so with that being said, Lord, I pray today that you would speak through me, minister beyond me, that, Father, you would speak through my mouth, that you would think through my mind. God, we thank you, Father, for revelation of truth that sets free, that brings healing, that brings wholeness, that brings revelation of you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you are in this place, that you are moving in us. Hallelujah. That you are moving in marriages today, that you are moving in finances today, that you are moving in emotions today. Jesus, you are still the answer for every single problem in our lives. Jesus, we thank you that you shed blood 2,000 years ago. You got on a cross that you didn't deserve to get on. You became our substitute. You died, went down to hell, kicked the devil's butt, took all of his authority and power back, rose again with all power in your hands, and you ascended to the right hand of God and are seated there making intercession for us. But you gave all authority on the earth to us. Hallelujah. Yeah, and so, Father, we operate in that authority, and in that way, we now declare that depression has to go in Jesus' name. We declare that sickness has to go in Jesus' name. We declare that problems be solved by the anointing of God, that the anointing that destroys every yoke, removes every burden. God, if people came in heavy today, we declare they leave fresh, they leave light, they leave free today, and we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree with that, somebody say amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Here we go. All right, I'm going to cover a little bit of ground here, and then we'll get into some new territory. Thank you so much. Sounds beautiful back there. Awesome. All right, makes me feel spiritual, makes me feel more anointed than I am. Hallelujah. It's good. It's good. So listen, God doesn't want you and I walking through a spiritual fog all of our lives, hoping that maybe somehow we fulfill the will of God for our lives. He wants you to know the will of God for your life, okay? The Bible says in Ephesians that we know the will of God. We can know the will of God for our lives. We don't have to guess. Come on, somebody say amen. Our God is a speaking God. In Genesis chapter 1, 17 times God says, it says the phrase, God said, and it was. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. 17 times he's giving us a clue. He's giving us a hint that our God is a speaking God. He always says things before he does them. Somebody say amen. So God wants to speak to you. God is desiring relationship with you. God desires family. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to build you. And he wants to take you into a life that is far beyond what you can think or imagine. Okay, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So God has this incredible plan that is beyond what you can think or imagine. It's designed for you. It's ready for you. And now we need now to just simply listen to him and obey him and begin to walk in the path that he has for us. It's amazing. The Bible is a book of conversations between God and his people. Okay, that's really what the Bible is, and it's much more than that, but this is what the Bible in a sense is, okay? The Bible text, I want to be careful how I say this, but I also say it to kind of get some of your attention. The Bible text, notice I said text, does not answer every one of life's questions, nor was it designed to, okay? It's not, the Bible text is not going to tell you exactly who to marry. Be incredible if it did. Some of you are like, oh yes, Jesus, that would have been good 15 years ago. Amen. That's a joke. I wish it did, because my God, I wouldn't have married Harry. Come on, somebody. No. God can redeem and restore whatever's going on. Come on, somebody. But the Bible text isn't going to tell you exactly who to marry, exactly where to live, or exactly which house to buy, or which car to buy, which job to take. Now, the Bible text won't tell you that, but as you spend time in the Bible text, the logos can become rhema, and God will take the written word, and he will breathe through it, the spoken word, to your heart. And he will begin to give you the details. I hope you're listening and not distracted this morning. I really, really do. Because I can tell you personally, you need it. You need it. Hallelujah. It's like telling somebody, you need to shower. You need it. Come on, somebody. You can't smell yourself. Come on. All right. So anyway, there was a poll taken of unsaved and saved people. All right. Saved and unsaved people. And they said, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And both parties came back overwhelmingly with this question, why am I here? What is God's will for my life? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? This was the question that came back from saved and unsaved people, because there is an aching void on the inside of each and every one of us that even if you're making money, even if you're being successful, even if you're seeing good things happen in life, there is this aching void on the inside of you, an emptiness that unless you are walking in God's plan and intention and will for your life, there will be this emptiness, there will be a dissatisfaction, because he is the designer, and when you follow the designer's manuscript, that is when the product is fulfilled. That's really good, and I hadn't said it like that before, but I think you get what I'm saying. Amen. I'm about to show you a scripture that is going to change your life forever. Are you ready? I'm about to show you a scripture that is going to change your life forever. All right? Now, how do we find God's will? Number one, God's will is God's word. God's will is God's word. Period. All right. Now, let me show you the scripture. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? That's it. That's the scripture that's going to change your life. Because you can walk into any situation, any circumstance, any setting. Oh, my God. Any season of life. Wherever you're at, you can be in the hospital and ask the question, but what does the word of God say? You can be in a tumultuous marriage and you can ask the question, I know, devil, this is jacked up, but what does it say? You can be with some messed up kids and you don't know how they're going to get saved and how they're going to serve you. And you can say, shut up, devil. What does the word of God say? The word of God says, me and my household shall be saved. The word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. The word of God says that if God is my provider, that I'm going to have my rent paid. I'm going to have my car paid. I'm going to have a blessed future. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. You got to start asking yourself the question, what does it say? I'm dealing with depression. Okay, what does the word of God say? I'm dealing with addiction. Okay, what does the word of God say? Because what the word of God says is the will of God for my life. So I might be in a circumstance that contradicts the word of God, but as long as I know what the word of God says, I'm not going to let the contradiction become my reality. Ah, that's good preaching right there. So we've got to be people. In other words, here's what I'm saying. I appreciate what the doctor said, but what does God say? The doctor said this and this and this, and we appreciate doctors, we honor doctors, we work with doctors, but at the end of the day, the doctor is not final authority. I'm going to say, I want to know the will of God. What does it say? Come on, somebody. Okay, I appreciate what the therapist said, but what does God say? I appreciate what the marriage counselor says, and I'm going to take some of those things and run it through the filter of God's word. But at the end of the day, I need to know, what does God's word say about my marriage? It'd be amazing how many marriages could start flying high if we would just go into Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 and find out what God said about how a man's supposed to treat his wife and how a wife is supposed to treat her husband. And we just started with that. You'd be amazed how many marriage problems would fall by the wayside because we stopped going by what culture is saying and what that one says, and we started going by what does it say. You want to know God's will, you're going to have to know what it says. Okay? This is how you find the will of God. So much of life can find clarity through the lens of the Word of God. Confusion comes when we stop looking at life and situations and problems through the lens of the Word of God. The Word of God should be my glasses of how I see life, people, relationships. Life becomes clear when I look at it through the lens of the Word of Almighty God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. There's one firm foundation to build life upon. Jesus said, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them is likened to a wise man who built his life upon the rock. But the unwise man is the one who hears my sayings and does not do them. He is like a man who builds his house on the sand. And when the storm came, the one who built life on the word of God was able to stand strong. But every other foundation was washed away. In other words, there's only one firm foundation to build our lives upon, and it is the word of Almighty God. Every other foundation is sinking sand. I don't care what anybody else said. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care how intellectual they are. I don't care how successful they are. I don't care what they look like and how beautiful they are and how rich they are. I don't care. If it doesn't line up with what God's word said, I'm not building my life on it. This is the confidence we should have as Christians. And the reason we don't is because we have stopped being doers of the word. So because we're not doing the word, we're not seeing the fruit and the manifestations of the word. And so we start looking at what everybody else is doing. That's why I'm teaching on this. Because we have let this stuff slip, church. Some of us have, but thank God we're getting it back today. Hallelujah. I said, we're getting it back and going further than we've ever gone before. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. All right, so with that being said, so finding the will of God, first of all, the word of God is the will of God. This is number one. So the word of God will not always give you specifics, but it will always give you principles for decision making. Okay, if you're taking notes, write that down. The word of God won't always give you every specific, but it will always give you principles for decision making, no matter what situation you find yourself in. And so then you follow the principles of the word until you hear the Holy Spirit give you the details. All right? So then, I love this. Write this down if you're taking notes. The word of God is the clearest form of the voice of God in your life. How do I hear the voice of God? How do I follow the will of God for my life? The word of God is the clearest form of the voice of God in your life. Always put the word of God first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld Him full of glory and grace and truth. In other words, Jesus is the Word. I always put the word of God first. Somebody say amen. Because when you build your life this way, the Bible says that you are going to stand strong. You are going to be victorious. You are going to see breakthrough in your life. This is the promise of the Word of God. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. The Word of God interprets and the Word of God reveals the voice of God in our lives. The Word of God interprets and the Word of God reveals the voice of God in our lives. Okay, now stick with me. This is good. In other words, what I'm saying is the Word of God becomes our moral foundation upon which we make all decisions in our lives. The Word of God becomes our moral foundation upon which we make every decision in our lives. We don't make decisions the way the world makes decisions. We make our decisions based upon the Word of God. We don't vote the way the world votes. I don't care who you like. I care what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. And I know it's touchy, but it's really not. Like, you got to separate, I don't like them because they said or this or whatever, but this one's for abortion. So I'm going to vote for someone I like that kills babies because I don't. Where'd all my amens go? Okay? Listen, man, it doesn't matter if you like them. It matters what they stand for and how they are going to lead our nation. Are they leading our nation away from God or closer to God? As far as what they fundamentally are standing for and are going to leverage laws to create those boundaries. All right, man. I'm not even preaching politics because I'm not telling you which party, which person, or whatever. But I am giving you principles. Stop voting based upon who you like or who's going to make you more money and start voting upon based upon what the Word of God says. Yeah, hallelujah. I want to kick that religious devil right in the face. Hallelujah. All right, so that being said, that's just for free. Amen. That's just for free. Okay, because I'm going to tell you, I have voted for people I didn't like. But their stances and what they were going to leverage laws for our nation were closer to God's word than this other person. Amen. If you're not saying amen, you're not even a Christian. Don't get me riled up. I'll come straight at you. Do we vote based upon the Word of God? My God in heaven, it got real politically religious in here. I'm a staunch whatever. I don't care. Let's build life on the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Man, it shouldn't be that difficult in church. All right, so if the decision, it is good. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Got religious people that are scared to say amen because they voted for the wrong person. Anyway, all right. So if the decision that you want to make doesn't line up with God's word, you can judge it by the word and then make course corrections. I'm just being pastor today. I'm not being cheerleader today, right? And go get on the organ and let's shout. I'm going to do that every now and again. That's part of who I am. I'm just being pastor today. All right? So here's what I feel. Here's what I want. Here's what I think. And here's my opinion. Because, you know, we worship our opinion. Because we're all geniuses and smarter than God. Are you serious? Our opinion needs to be broke down sometimes. Humility says, you know what? I held this opinion. But now I see in God's word I was wrong. And because I was hurt in the past by this or that or the other, I have these rose-shaded glasses on. I'm going to quit talking about those in authority. And I'm going to start praying for them. Forgive me, Jesus. Whether I like them, whether I don't like them, I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. Right? So, my God, opinion. Like, you worship your opinion. No, I worship God. And if he says something different than my opinion says, I'm going to change my opinion. So here's what I think. Here's what I feel. Here's what I want. Here's my opinion. But here's what the Word of God says. I'm going with what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. So at first, church, this is a discipline. At first, it's a discipline to make decisions based upon what God says. But it will eventually become our nature. It gets to the point where we just can't do life without the Word of God. This is how we should be living. I don't want to make decisions based upon the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to keep dating the wrong people. I don't want to keep going down the wrong path. I don't want to keep spending money unwisely. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to walk in His will for my life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I can't live without the Word of God. It's like, you know, you fight with your wife, or, you know, and I can't go that long, you know, arguing with my wife until the Word of God levels me back up, and I realize how ignorant I have been or idiotic I have been, and I go and I repent to my wife and I fall at her feet and beg for mercy. Hallelujah. You know, I'm a smart man. Hallelujah. Right? But the Word of God will do this in situations in our life, and the Holy Spirit will bring the Word to us to where we stop disobeying the Word in that area and become doers of the Word, and then we see the blessing that follows. All right. So then, write this down if you're taking notes. During your life, you're going to hear three voices. See, you're not crazy. Just hear voices. But in your life, you're going to hear three voices. Number one, you're going to hear God's voice. Number two, you're going to hear your voice. Number three, you're going to hear the devil's voice. The key to life is discerning which voice is speaking. Okay? Because when you can discern which voice is speaking. Whoa. This is the enemy speaking to me. He's trying to condemn. He's trying to bring shame. He is trying to push me further away from God. This is the devil speaking. The devil never shows up with a pitchfork and a red tail and goes, hey, it's me. He always shows up in your thought life and in your emotions, and he tries to sound like God. He'll either try to sound like God, showed up as a snake. Come on, somebody. Ooh, I'm a little flittery snake, you know? Flipper little snake, slipping through the garden, right? Like, he just showed up as a snake. Has God said? He showed up as God. Look, did God really say? Come on, I mean, he shows up. He's not going to show up as something, you know, as something that you immediately know, I need to resist that. He's going to show up as your thoughts. He'll try to show up as your, it's not your thoughts, but he'll try to show up and make you think that the thoughts that you're thinking are you. He'll give you perverted thoughts and then call you a pervert for thinking them. He'll give you greedy thoughts and then call you greedy for thinking them. Come on. He'll give you religious, critical thoughts in church and then go, look at you, you critical, religious. Okay? This is how the devil operates. The Bible says he arrays himself as an angel of light. Because, are you listening? Because if he can get you to believe that his lies are truth, he's got you bound. Deception is nothing more than believing lies. When you believe lies, you're deceived. And the only way to keep from believing lies is to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is this helping anybody thus far? So you've got to be able to discern. Okay, that's the devil trying to speak to me. This is my thought. My thoughts. Go on vacation. Don't go to church. Don't read your Bible this week. Just put more focus on working out and becoming the best you. And, you know, go, you know, eat keto and, you know, do these different things. And just be the best you that, you know, hashtag on my grind. Come on, somebody. Like these thoughts come to you and these thoughts come to me. Don't read your Bible. Do this today. Don't pray. Do this today. You already messed up Saturday night, so don't come to church on Sunday morning. These are either the devil's thoughts or your thoughts, but they are not God's thoughts. Okay? So then, these voices, we got to discern, resist the devil's voice. Resist that voice. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. The way that you resist him is when you have those crazy thoughts and feelings, you start speaking out of your mouth the Word of God. Okay? Speak out of your mouth scriptures, and all of a sudden those thoughts become renewed to God's Word. Now you're walking back in God's will. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. It was fascinating for me to find out that I was listening to Jabin Chavez, and some of this teaching is coming from there, but he said something fascinating. He said this. He said, when bank employees start their training, he says they do no training to spot a counterfeit bill. And that was like really surprising to me, because I would think that finding a counterfeit bill is kind of a big deal. Not to you? Okay. But to me, if I was a bank, I'm like, I kind of want to know what's real and what's not. Right? But what they found out was that bank tellers and bank employees handle real, genuine money all day. They handle it all day. They're touching it. They're feeling it. They're seeing it all day long. So they have to do no training, because as soon as a counterfeit hits their fingers, they're going to know that's a counterfeit and not the real thing. The way that you discern if it's God speaking or if it's the devil or if it's you is stay in the genuine all the time, so that when the counterfeit shows up, you go, nah, devil, I'm not buying your lies anymore. I have the mind of Christ and I know when God's talking to me. Somebody say amen. John 10:4, I believe it is, Jesus said, I am the shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. All right, so we got to stay close to the word of God. Amen? Amen? All right, so notice this. God's voice will always line up with scripture. Always. Like, there'll never be a time that God speaks to you that doesn't line up with scripture. Right? Like back in the day, people started hearing, you know, started learning about being able to hear God for yourself and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and, you know, walking in God's will for your life. And people start getting kind of weird and kind of crazy with it. Yeah, you've never met a weird Christian. Come on, somebody. Like, right? Come on, man. Like, I heard the Lord, and I think I'm supposed to marry his wife. Actually, never. Because the word of God, the voice of God would never speak to you to do something that goes against God's word. The Bible says if two are married, they are married. You are never supposed to covet another man's wife. You see, but if you don't know the basics of the word of God, it's going to be hard for you to hear the voice of God. Wow. Have I said these yet? Oh, man. No. Okay, yeah, let me say this. The word of God translates the voice of the Holy Spirit to you. The word of God clarifies the voice of God to you. And the word of God adds volume to the voice of God for you. So if the voice of God has gotten small and you can't hear God anymore, it's not because, now I don't mean hear God with these ears. I mean hear God with your heart in here. You ever be going to someone like, oh, I don't even know. This is weird, like hearing God. Oh, my God. Like, chill. Because you've been going somewhere and something on the inside of you says, don't go that way this time. And if you know how to hear that and sense that impression, many times the leadings of God don't come as words, they come as impressions. Just had an impression, don't do this, don't buy this right now, but I really want it. Y'all ever done that? Like, you know, something like that, don't buy this right now. Don't buy this right now. I want it, Jesus. I'm going to have it, Jesus. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed. You start arguing with God. Right? Your favor is upon my life, Lord, and I'm supposed to be. I'm a king's kid. Come on, somebody. Start arguing with God about his word for you. Come on, man. Someone say, come on, man. Don't be doing that. He's trying to keep you from, because he knows 3 weeks down the line that $5,000 perch about to break down, and it's one day after the, the warranty where it runs out. He knew it. You didn't. But because you had to have it. Come on, somebody. Just had to date that girl. She was so fly. Come on, somebody. And you find out 3 weeks in, the Lord told you, don't do it. Don't do it. Danger. Danger. But you found out she was Jezebel. Come on, somebody. So we've had maybe some of these experiences in life where we had these impressions. We disobeyed them. We overrode them. Come on, somebody. Because you're a free moral agent. You can override the leadings of the Holy Spirit, or you can choose to yield and obey to the Holy Spirit. I bet there have been many times when the Holy Spirit is telling you, invite that person to celebration. Invite that person to church. Go pray with that person. Go tell that person your story. You're like, whoa, devil, I don't know. Come on, it's not the devil. He will ask you to do that. Listen to this. The voice of God will always stretch your faith. You ever notice, this is going to set somebody free. God will never speak to you about anything in your past that you can't change. He'll only speak to you about things that you can correct now. And the corrections you make now by the leadership of the Holy Spirit can restore the stuff that happened in your past. That's good Bible preaching right there. You know, God can even redeem the time that you've been wasting. He can help redeem the time that you wasted in your past. We should be praying, Lord, help us redeem the time that we have and we have in our future. In other words, the time that you wasted could have taken success and could have taken breakthrough and could have taken God's manifestation and blessing away from your life. But if you begin to pray that God redeems the time, you should be over here, but you're right here because you were wasting time doing crazy stuff. But if you begin to pray and obey God, God can speed you up. Hallelujah. All right, so with that being said, I'm hopeful that that is encouraging to you. I'm hopeful that that helps you. All right, so the voice of God inside, we're not talking about a voice you hear with your ears, but voice in here, in the impressions. And sometimes the impressions, they start here, and then they'll rise up to your mind as words, as God speak, as sentences or as phrases from God. And you know, that's God. And you know how it's really kind of cool? Like, I don't know if that's God. I don't know. I'm just like confused. It's pretty cool, like when God speaks to you, do it. And then if it lines up with God's word, if it's crazy, come on now. If it lines up with God's word, do it. And if it works, it was God. Amen. Somebody say amen. You know, all right. Hopefully that's helpful to you. If what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do cannot be backed up and confirmed by the word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. It might be your imagination. Come on, somebody. Or it might just be pizza that you ate late at night. But if it can't be backed up, y'all ever heard somebody come up with you know what God told me? And you're like, get that weird mystical look in their eyes. I'm like, you already know it's not God in Jesus' name. Right? Come on, man. Y'all have met that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be that lady, all right? You know what God told me? Chill, bro. You need to go take some Pepto-Bismol is what you need to do. Okay? You know what God told me? Listen, man, don't be going around telling everybody what God told you. Just do it. And quit trying to hear God for, you know what God told me about you? Shh. You need to go lose weight before you tell me what to do. Come on, somebody. That's a joke, and that was a little whatever, like a little insensitive, okay, whatever, right? I'm just saying, like, let's hear God for us. Let's follow God for us, and let's pray for others. Let's not try to go be, you know, Prophetess Danny in the parking lot. Come on, somebody. Just hear God for you, because you got stuff that you can correct first. Y'all, you're not my friend no more. Okay. Hopefully this is helpful, all right? Hopefully this is helpful. It doesn't mean that you can't hear God and that God wouldn't give you a burden for somebody else. But don't go mouth it off to them and make it weird. Just pray for them. I was hoping to get a little bit more help in here, but I don't know. We might have some sidewalk prophets in here. I don't know. Okay, number two. Number one, God's word is God's will, all right? And number two, God's will is connected to what you love. Okay? Not the fleshly part of you, but the spirit part of you. Okay, let me explain this, all right? Psalm 139 in the Passion Translation, verses 1 through 5. I absolutely love this. Lord, you know everything about me. You know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. You understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak even before I start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. Hello, will of God. Hello, why am I here? My God has already prepared my life. I just got to follow his plan to get me. Come on, somebody. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. Let me break down what I just read to you. God knows you. God loves you, and God wants to accomplish his will with you. God won't do it for you, but he wants to accomplish his will with you. All right. Not everything that happens is the will of God. I'm just going to throw that out there. Right? Not everything that happens is the will of God. Like, you know what I mean? Your life is in shambles. It's the will of God, I guess. Right? Dating somebody ugly, it's the will of God. No, come on. It's just a joke. Not everything that happens is the will of God. But if you talk to some Christians, everything that happens is the sovereign will of God. Or you just made some bad choices. Right? Someone breaking into your house. Oh. Well, I guess it's the will of the Lord. Maybe they need it worse than I did. Now, you break into my house, I'm pulling out a Glock. About to meet your maker, but before I send you, do you know Jesus? Hallelujah. Is it the will of God? Hashtag thug life. Come on, somebody. Must be the will of God that you die. No, just playing. Not everything that happens is the will of God, church. Don't blame everything negative in your life on the will of God. God's will for your life is good. God's will for your life is blessing. God's will for your life is healing. God's will for your life is victory. If you believe it, give God a shout of praise in here. Hallelujah. Right? Everything's the will of God. I'm not going to wear my seatbelt. And if I get in a wreck and I die, it was the will of God. Come on, man. No, just buckle up. I'm going to eat this expired food. And if I get sick, it was the will of God. Come on, man. No, it wasn't the will. All right. Like, you make all kinds of unwise financial expenditures. It's the will of God that I'm broke. I'm going to take a vow of poverty. Come on, man. You just bought a bunch of stuff that you knew you shouldn't have. See, this is like, I'm trying to make light of it, but if we're not careful, we just sit and wonder, you know, like, okay, well, life is not really good right now, so maybe it's the will of God. God's trying to teach me something. Yeah, he's trying to teach you, obey the word. He's not the one that brought any of that stuff on you. He's just saying, hey, if you want to get out of that, let's come obey my word, and I'll get you into my will for your life. Amen? Come on, man. I got a little guy. His name's Avon. Got a basketball hoop now at my house, so we're playing all the time. We're out there playing horse and playing pig. And there's another dad that comes out there, you know, with us, and, you know, I'm much better. But, you know, I mean, no one needs to know that. It's just information you don't need. But anyways, it makes me feel better about being me. But whatever. But he comes out, and I feel bad, you know, a little bit for the boy's father, but it's okay. I'm praying for them. It's going to be good. They're, you know, it's good. It's really good. So they come out, they play with us, and we're shooting out there. We'll play like horse or pig, and I'll just be playing. I'll just be shooting around and you know, winning, you know, whatever. It's what I do. So I'm just shooting. And then Avon's like, Dad, take it easy. Take it easy on us. I'm like, okay. So then the next few shots I miss. He's like, Dad, now you're letting me win. I'm like, that's kind of what you asked me to do, right? But anyways, I digress. I'm out there, and I'm showing Avon these different moves, different dribbling techniques, and, you know, how to cross somebody over and create space, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm just doing these things. I'm teaching him how to shoot, proper form. But he doesn't want to hear me a lot of times. He doesn't want to hear me. He just wants to play. He wants to play. It's okay. We play. But I know if he listens to me, he's going to be better than the kids at his school. Because if he could play against Dad, when he plays against other kids, oh, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. But he didn't want to. My will for him is to be much better than the kids that he plays against. But I can't make him listen. God's will, come on, somebody. God's will for you is to be blessed, is to be healed, is to be prosperous. But he can't make you. All right. Lord, use my little expression to help somebody in some way. Come on, man. That was a joke too. Not very funny, but it was an attempt. Hallelujah. All right. Second thing. God's will is connected to what you love. All right. So then, what do you love? Define that and do more of that. What do you love? Define that and do more of that. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What do you hate? Because many times what you hate could be connected to your assignment that you would help correct the things that you hate. Okay? Just what invokes passion in you? What stirs passion in you? Is it technology? Is it creativity? Is it architecture? Is it fashion? Is it media? Don't ignore the things that you're passionate about, because God probably connected some of those things to your destiny. That you can help people in those areas. There might be businesses that God wants you to start. There might be people that God wants you to mentor, and they would never listen to you, but because you're passionate and have this skill and have this ability, now they'll listen to you because they're passionate about the same. Come on, somebody. Many times God puts passions in you because he knows it was going to take passion for you to fulfill the assignment that he put in you, and he connected the passion to the assignment. I hope this is helpful. What are you good at? Get better at that. What are you good at? Can you cultivate? Come on, somebody. What are you good at? What is easy for you that is hard for others? What is easy for you that is hard for others? This is probably one of your giftings and probably is tied to the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. So our destiny, God's will, is not just one thing. It's not just a destination. It is a culmination of hearing and obeying what God has for our life. My time is up, and I have number three, and this is where it gets really good. So I don't know what we're going to do about that. Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. I got to have you out of here by. Okay. It's weird because I had so much. It felt like I had so much more time in the first service. And I didn't. I just expounded on other things. Anyways, just thinking out loud, thinking out loud. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 51. Notice what Jesus said. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Here's what Jesus said. What do you want? Have you ever thought about that? What do you want? Jesus is asking you, what do you, not the unholy part of you, what is in your heart? What do you want in your life? Because if you're saved, God's given you passions and desires. What is it that you want? Listen to me. Have you ever defined what you want? I'm getting a bunch of blank stares. Because we probably haven't, because we've learned to deal with the cards that have been dealt to us. And God is saying, but what do you want? You can have faith in me for what you want. And it's many times it's tied to the will of God for your life. Have you defined it? Have you talked to God about what you want? Have you written it down? Because these are steps of faith that you begin to talk to God and begin to believe him for a better tomorrow. I don't have time to go through it, but I'm going to try to give you the highlights. Number three, the will of God cannot stop with you. The will of God cannot stop with you. It must go beyond you. Here's what, write this down if you're taking notes. If God answered every one of your prayers, would it change the world or just change your world? Acts 13:36, David passionately served God's desires for his generation. If we are fulfilling the will of God for our lives, we are going to be impacting others with the goodness of Jesus in our lives. We are going to be reaching people who don't know Jesus. We're going to be loving the unlovable. We're going to be reaching out to people who don't know him. And they are going to want to follow Jesus because of the Jesus they see in us. The will of God doesn't stop with me. The will of God must run through me and go beyond me. Somebody say amen. How are you, write this down if you're taking notes. How are you currently using what you have and what you do for the kingdom of God? How are you currently using what you have and what you do for the kingdom of God? I love this. Hebrews 12:2. God said to Abraham, Abraham, leave everything. Leave your father's house. Leave your country. Go to a place that I will show you. And then the next verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and I will make you Oh, I said 12 too. That's the wrong one. That's my fault. I gave you the wrong one. But the scripture in Hebrews is talking about Abraham. He says, you leave your father's house. You get out of your country. You go to a place that I will show you. And here's what God said. He says, and I will make you great. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And that right there is where most Christians stop. God, make me great and bless me. God says, I can't do the first two steps if you're not going to do the third step. And you shall be a blessing to everybody else. Because if it's the will of God being accomplished in my life, I'm going to be a blessing to my neighbor. I'm going to be a blessing to those who don't know Jesus. I'm going to be a blessing to those that are on the street. I'm going to be a blessing to my waiter. I'm going to be a blessing to my waitress. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to pay for their meal. I'm going to be a blessing. If you want to be blessed, you got to be willing to be a blessing. So I guess what I'm saying is give your skills, your giftings, your talents, your desires, your career, your money, your daily routine. Give it a mission. Come on, church. Give it a mission to be a blessing and to show Jesus to others. When you do this, you're going to begin to walk in the will of God like you never have before. The will of God won't be accomplished when my eyes are on me. The will of God will be accomplished when my eyes are on Him and being a blessing to others. Tommy Barnett says, if God can get it to you, if God can get it through you, He will obviously get it to you. Hallelujah. In other words, God wants us to be a river of blessing, a river of the love of Jesus, and not a dam. All right, so write this down. This is the most important. I took the extra time, and we're not even that far over. Listen, so for most of us here, the next step in our lives, hear me, is not a new career. It's not a new location. I didn't say everybody, but for most. It's not a new relationship. It's not a new adventure. But rather, your next step is to connect what you are currently doing to the kingdom of God and make adjustments to where you can do that more often. Amen? Here's what I'm saying. For most of us, it's not about doing a new thing. It's about giving my current thing a new mission. Let me say that again. For most of us, it's not about a new thing. It's about giving my current thing a new mission. Because that's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. That's where the fulfillment is. That's where the contentment is. That's where we go to bed and we're so grateful for who God is and what He's doing in us and what He's doing through us. Come on, if you believe, we're going to walk in the will of God. Come on, let's give God some praise in here today. Hallelujah. Come on, did you get some good things out of this? Amen. Come on, if you bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from Him. And I want to come back to Him. The good news is that His arms are open wide to you. He loves you and He's there for you. So either one of those invitations, you've never received Jesus or you've received Him, but you know you want to come back to Him and walk in His plan and His will for your life. On the count of three, if that's you, I just simply want you to lift your hand as every eye is closed, every head is bowed. One, two, three. Lift them up. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Everybody that raised their hand and everybody that didn't, come on, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And by your grace and with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody, let's rejoice over the decision that was just made.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.